We're here in the Congressional Corner with Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado of New York's beautiful 19th District. Antonio Delgado, you're a first-term congressman. Now you find you have some opposition. A retired National Guard general, Anthony German, is running as a Republican in New York 19. What's your reaction to his appearance?
Well, Alan, as you might be able to predict, my focus has been and always will be for the foreseeable future on making sure I stay connected to the good folks here at home and govern. So much, unfortunately, of our politics has been reduced to campaigning. And that is a unfortunate effect of the amount of money that influences our system. We've got to change that dynamic, but I'm going to be laser-like focused on governing, continuing to govern, continuing to legislate, continuing to be accountable to my constituents, and focusing on anything beyond that, to me, is a disservice to the folks that I'm here to serve.
Okay, so let's go on to national politics. Who you got?
I'm not even sure what that means, Alan.
Who's your candidate for president?
I don't have a candidate for president. You know, here's what I'll say about this. I think any presidential candidate would be wise to be true to who they are. I think what I have learned in my time in office and engaging with people here through my town halls is people are desperate for authenticity. Even if they disagree with you, even if you know, they don't like where you might come down on a particular issue, if they know that you're giving it to them straight, that you're not trying to pull the wool over their eyes, you're not trying to spin until kingdom come, but you actually just want to have a real conversation, make yourself a little bit vulnerable in the process, and be humble, of course, in doing so, that goes a long way. And I think that's a reflection of people's weariness with the level of dysfunction and partisanship and the gamesmanship that has polluted and corrupted our political system.
So I come back to my question, Antonio Delgado. You know, obviously, you know, there's going to be a primary, a series of primaries, and we see Joe Biden way ahead in the polls right now. Is he to your liking?
I think anybody who has the capacity to be real, to be frank with the people, to be honest about who they are, is somebody that I can be excited about. And I think there are a number of candidates who at this point seem to give that impression to me, whether it's Biden, whether it's Harris, whether it's Warren, it doesn't matter. I think there's a number of folks out there, Beto, they all, you know, speak from the heart, at least it seems to me. But this is the reason why we have primaries. And this is the reason why we don't rush to judgment, because what primaries do is they test you. You know, as you might recall, Alan, I went through a very competitive primary with some highly, highly talented individuals, good people with good hearts. And it took a lot of work to win. And it made me a better candidate for sure. And I think what we're going to see over the coming months is how each of these individuals responds to the pressure, responds to the daily grind, responds to having to constantly be under scrutiny of the American people. And I think until that process unfolds a bit more, it's hard to say who I like more or who I think is best positioned, because there's a lot you can learn from this process.
Do you think Social Security is under real threat in this country in terms of running out of money, in terms of Trump's assaults? Do you think that if it comes down to Social Security running out of money, that the Congress will find a way to replenish it?
Well, I think that we're talking about the most successful social insurance program in this country's history, obviously signed into the law, I think it was a week ago, 84 years ago, by the great FDR of Hyde Park, by the way. And the fact that we're continually talking about the solvency of this incredibly important program, I find deeply problematic, and we need to address it. And the fact is, we are doing everything in our power to hurt the very people who are relying on this program to save costs, whether it's, you know, limiting the extent to which a surviving spouse can receive the benefit, whether it's continuing to tax the benefit because of income requirements. These things, to me, are all ways in which to increase the solvency at the expense of the very people who are relying on the program. Uncalled for. The cap currently captures about 80% of all income in this country. When it was set originally, it captured up to 90% of all the income. But when you have more and more wealth in this country, almost exclusively being generated at the very top of the economic brackets here, then not enough money is being captured by the cap. That's why we got to make sure that those folks who are making millions of dollars, who are only paying a small fraction of their income is being taxed relative to somebody who's making, for example, $70,000, who has 100% of their income being taxed. We got to make the adjustment there and make sure that those folks who are in the top income brackets of our country, the top 1%, for example, are paying a bit more, and to make sure that we have the ability to continue to keep this program alive and well.
Many of your colleagues are coming over to the side that they think Trump's actions as president have been so disgraceful he should be impeached. You're not yet in that group, are you?
No, I'm in the group that wants to continue to aggressively investigate both the interference administered by a foreign adversary in Russia and any attempts by the president to obstruct our investigation into that interference. We've made a lot of progress in this space. The Mueller report obviously came out, which I think is illuminating to say the least. We got Mueller to come in and testify. His testimony, I think, was incredibly helpful in informing the public. Keep in mind, Alan, that when the report came out, Barr, the AG, in many respects did a disservice on the American people and short-circuited the process of analysis and drew conclusions without any real evidentiary basis when everybody was paying attention. So now we have an obligation in Congress to do the hard work of making sure that the folks out there across America really understand what the report says. And that includes not just bringing Bob Mueller in, but it also includes bringing them again and other fact witnesses to continue to highlight what in fact has transpired or did transpire during 2016.
So how do you get them? I'm sorry, Antonio, we're running out of time, but how do you get them to show up? I mean, you know, the president
says
exactly.
You take them to court, which is what we're doing. You know, we're taking them to court to enforce a subpoena to bring McGahn in. We're taking them to court to make sure we get the underlying evidence. And the courts are coming down in our favor. We saw the case out in Washington, the Mazar case, that, you know, clearly found that we don't need to do anything beyond what we're already doing to be able to obtain all the evidence and all the fact witnesses we want. It is clearly stated as a right under Article 1 to investigate the executive branch. It is fundamental to our checks and balances system, and I will do everything in my power to uphold that system.
Our guest today, and we are very delighted to have him, is Democratic Representative Antonio Delgado of New York's 19th District. Antonio, congratulations on everything you're doing. May you continue to prosper. Thank you so much for being with us.
All the best, Alan.